Our reading comes from the book of Proverbs. This particular section was written by Solomon, the great king of Israel. Reading verse 1 and 2. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of anger will fall. Those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. Do not rob the poor because they are poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord pleads their cause and despoils of life those who despoil them. May God's blessings be upon those who hear and obey his word. In verse 9, you heard the word generous. Let me ask this question. Do you consider yourself generous? Have you ever thought about how generous people are in the United States? It might surprise you to discover the most generous cities are in Idaho. Idaho Falls, Pocatello, and Jackson give more money than anyone, $17,977,000 a year. I guess I should have been a potato farmer than a pastor. And do you know the second most profitable city? This is going to surprise you also. It's the Sin City, Las Vegas. I guess people give out of guilt. They give $10,410 regularly. That surpasses Chicago, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Houston, Philadelphia, and probably Detroit. Those cities only average $3,308 annually. There's another study by an organization called Nonprofit who found that only 5% of church members give regularly. I don't know what regularly means. I assume that's either weekly or monthly. Nationwide, Christians today only give 2.5% of their income. Compare this to the Great Depression, in which the average giving was 3.3%. That time when America suffered the most, the giving was greater than the time now in which we have the greatest prosperity. Think about your own giving, not just to the church, but to places like Salvation Army, Open Door, United Way. Maybe there's another agency you support. Would you call yourself a generous giver? Now, I'm not going to define the word generosity either by a specific income amount or by a percentage. I'm just going to let you think about that. Jesus never mentions what generosity is. He also surprisingly never mentions the word tithe. Tithe was very common in Jewish tradition ever since the book Moses established it in the book of Deuteronomy. In chapter 14, verse 22, Moses records, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. It's interesting to see that even though that was ingrained into the Jewish faith, ingrained into their law of obedience, Jesus doesn't mention it. He sets a higher standard. He says, if you're walking along and someone, and you have two coats and someone is in need and doesn't have any, give one of yours to that other person. Now, I'm terrible with math, but my calculations, that's 50%. Think about Zacchaeus. You know that wee little man? Climbed a sycamore tree, we all sing. Jesus came to his house. Zacchaeus was so stunned that Jesus would accept his hospitality that he got up and announced, Jesus, since you have done this for me, I'm going to give 50% of my possessions to the poor. And if I've defrauded any person, I will repay them four times. Another time, a rich man came to him. Jesus said, or the rich man asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, go sell all that you have and give the money to the poor. The rich man walked away because he was very rich. So now, in light of all of that, do you consider yourself a generous person? Some people might say, well, I'm very generous to my family. And that's good. We should treat our families with love and respect at birthdays, at special events, at holidays. But if we only purchase gifts for them at that time, even if we don't skimp on the price, are we really being generous? In the song, in the Proverbs, verse 9, the Proverbs says, blessed is the person who is generous, but not to family, the poor. In ancient Jewish texts in the New Testament, the poor is defined as anybody who cannot provide for the basic necessities of life, either for themselves or their family. God desires for people of faith to care for the poor. It's a very consistent theme in the Old Testament. Once again, it begins in the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses writes, since there can never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor. This theme is consistent in the book of Psalms. And actually, in the book of Psalms, the idea of giving to the poor is recorded there more frequently than in any other book of the Bible. In Psalm 9, verse 18, the psalmist writes, for the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the poor perish. God makes a promise that he will care for the poor. The psalmist also instructs kings that they should defend the cause of the poor and give deliverance to the needy, crush the oppressor. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he gives us an idea of what generosity really looks like. Now, to really understand this, we have to focus on a couple of words. If you look at that second letter, chapter 8, I believe it's verse 2. Paul uses the two words, extreme poverty. It's not just having an income below the poverty level. It's extreme poverty. It's extreme hardship. This church, he's not telling this church to give even though they're extreme poverty. He's commending the church because even in their extreme poverty, they gave generously. They gave generously even in during their time of affliction, which probably was government persecution. Regardless of these two negative circumstances that were going on, the church in Macedonia was known for giving generously to the church in Jerusalem. Severe poverty is probably beyond anything that you or I can imagine. We're too comfortable in our lazy boy watching the Detroit Lions start their quest for the Super Bowl this year. But a rabbi who witnessed the city of Jerusalem poverty recorded his thoughts. He was walking through the streets of Jerusalem after the Romans had destroyed the city. They leveled it. They destroyed the temple. They sacked the city, took all the possessions that they could carry. This rabbi was walking through and he saw a young girl trying to provide either for herself or for her family. She was picking up barley seeds from horse dung. Her family was one of the wealthiest in the city before the Jewish revolution that ended with the destruction of Jerusalem. But they had lost everything at the hands of the Romans, and their poverty reduced them to a subhuman level. The Macedonians, even though they were suffering from extreme poverty, knew that the church in Jerusalem needed as much as they could possibly give. They didn't count the cost. They didn't consider, can we afford this? Will we get a government deduction for it? They just gave. They put aside racial barriers because they were Greeks and they were giving to Jews. They put aside their own need and they gave generously. I learned that generosity is an indication of love. Parents who love their children are tempted to spoil their children because they lavish them with gifts. Husbands and wives will shower gifts upon each other because of their love for one another. Price tags are put aside. Budgets are ignored. Because I love you so much, I will do this for you. I will give this to you. My friends, have you fallen in love with God the Father? Have you fallen in love with the person who watched his son die on the cross for your sins? It is the Father's wish that we return our gratitude by giving generously to the poor. So I ask you, are you a generous giver? Amen.